I guess I can give, like, you know, Jack Golkey, you know, some props for that, because he kind of, like, he kind of showed, like, a D2 white boy can, you know, kind of do it on that stage. And so, like, there were some crazy schools to reach out, like Maryland, Virginia Tech, Marquette, like, UCLA, DePaul. Like, there were some crazy ones. And honestly, I kind of wanted to stay away from, you know, that like super, super high level.
Welcome back to another episode of Not Even D2, here with my boy Ruda. How you feeling today, bro? It's week one of the Division III landscape and basketball games. So I'm just curious who you guys opening with and how you feeling going into first game.
Definitely exciting week. Excited to get going. Senior season, definitely an exciting time, like you're saying. But we open, so we're heading to Rochester away tournament for our first couple games. We are playing Lehman College. Shout out Coach Shulman.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a great, good. It's gonna be a good time seeing him, competing against him. But really, really excited to see Coach Shulman again after, you know, he helped us out with the, you know, We Are D3 Combine and seeing him at the We Are D3 TBT event. But yeah, we play them and then the winner of RIT and Fitchburg State. So a couple games coming up this weekend. What about you guys? Who y'all got?
Well, first, those are definitely good games. Hope you guys get a 2-0 to start the year. But we got Alfred State on Friday, so tomorrow. And, I mean, around campus, like, the energy feels crazy because I go to Alfred University and Alfred State is literally right across the street. So not that there's, like, beef or anything, but there's definitely, like you want to prove to the rest of the community, like, this is the better basketball school. And then on Saturday, we got Montclair State, one of the better teams we'll see all year. They're a really good program. So it's going to be an eventful weekend. We're locked into the film, scout, all of that. Practices have been good this week, so I'm excited. But
I got a quick question. You guys ever lost to Alfred State in your time there or not?
So we always do this, like, tip-off tournament, but we've actually never played them because it's always been by design. Like, they'll play a team, and then the next day we'll automatically play the team that they just played. So I've only played them in scrimmages, and the scrimmages are always good competition. They got good guards this year. Dylan's a shooter, and one of my guys that I know is going to be a competitive battle. But, yeah, definitely locked in for this weekend. But on today's episode, we got Matt Beck. Matt Beck, truly an inspirational story. He committed to Mount St. Mary's to start his college career and dealt with 3 surgeries in 2 years. I said 2 in the episode, but I'm pretty sure it was 3, 2 knee surgeries and 1 eye surgery. And, I mean, committed to SNU, Southern New Hampshire University, and had a really, really good career this past year. Made it all the way to the national championship in Division II and had a really good year, averaged over 16 points per game, shot 45% from 3, can really do it all, which we'll talk about more. But we got to go back to this segment of the unnamed segment because we haven't hit on anything yet. But basically, we got more questions for the Empire 8. And this week, I want to talk about 2 specific teams in Rochester. And I want to focus on Nazareth and St. John Fisher. 2 really good teams. They've always been really competitive in the Empire 8, sometimes winning the conference. So their history is probably the top 2 when you look at all the Empire 8 schools. But my question for Nazareth, last year they led the conference in 3-point field goal percentage. They were 2nd in 3-point field goals made. And Logan Blankenberg left. And I talked to you about this, but I think he made that offense last year. Like, Their system is dribble drive, get to 2 feet, and then your big relaxes for one possession, and Logan Blankenberg's wide open for 3. And his responsibilities were really high last year. He was the 5th leading scorer in the conference, the 3rd leading rebounder, had a really good career at Nazareth. So my question for them is, which forward steps up for Logan Blankenberg? Because they also lost Jordan Haggard, who we know is a really strong physical forward that can step outside as well. But basically, how is this system going to work if you don't have those shooters on the outside or you don't have those guys battling down low? Because they were really tough matchups anytime that you got to see Logan Blankenberg or Jordan Haggard. So my question for them is, which forward steps up for this year?
I mean, yeah, I think those are all great points, KJ. And honestly, I can't really stray too far off from that point. You know, like Blankenberg, he was a really good player for them, bro. He had a, I feel like, I don't know what he's up to now, bro, but watching his game, I always felt like, yo, if he wants to go play overseas, he 100% has the game to do it. Like, I thought he was super tough. And I always thought, like, Haggard, in terms of when it comes to, like, the overall discussion of the E8, like, top players, I always thought he should be in there. Like, he got the gun, but, like, he had a little bit of, like, a bag to him, like that he could get to the rim a little bit. So I definitely loved his game a lot, but I mean, you know how I feel about Naz, bro. They have a great coach and Coach Broderick. He's been around there for a minute, right? He has a great program, right? And they're returning a lot of key guys. I mean, they got Inslee, who is the general, and he sets everything up for them. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be a junior this year. So now he has 3 years of, you know, college basketball experience. He's been in the big games before. So I'm expecting him to have a big year. But also now, like, you have some guys who have kind of been waiting for, like, the Blankenbergs and the Haggards to leave. Jalen Savage, like, I'm sure he's going to have a great year this year. Solomon McFarlane, I think that's his name. Like, he's really played well. Every time he plays Utica, and also, like, watching his stats from afar, like, you could tell, like, he's getting better just as a scorer. Like, he already plays really good defense, right? Then we got Gabe, right? Gabe is a really good, like, big for them. He's going to be coming back for them. Hopwood, I heard, is coming back. So they have a lot of returning guys, and continuity is a big part of college basketball. So just seeing how all those new pieces kind of fit together and how, like you said, they bounce back from losing to really good, you know, all-league players.
Yeah, those are really good points. One thing about Haggard, too, you mentioned, like, he's got a certain bag to him. And, like, looking at him, he's a stocky forward, but he's got bounce, too. Like,
bro, yes.
I seen a video on his IG. He was East Bay. So I was like, whoa, like, that's pretty tough. But yeah, you definitely hit a lot of good points. And I want to transition to Fisher and right on that point of continuity. And this is a team that, you know, doesn't have the strongest continuity or roster retention. They're losing a lot of guys this year. People probably expect me to say right now, like, who's going to step up for Dan Cook? And that's definitely an issue that they need to address. Not an issue, but a topic they need to address of who's Dan Cook's probably the most decorated playing career in all Empire history. I mean, four-time player of the year, nothing more needs to be said. But they also lost Brandon McRoy, who transferred to South Virginia, who plays in the new MAC. So that's a big-time transfer. But also, they brought in 9 freshmen, and they only have 7 upperclassmen. They didn't bring in any transfers. So my question for Fisher is this a rebuild year, or are they still trying to, like, you know, compete at the top of the Empire 8? Because usually when you lose so much talent, a lot of your scoring, a lot of your minutes, then it's especially today, it's easy to go in the transfer portal. But Coach Grossadonia, he's got a lot of respect throughout the league, but he didn't go in the transfer portal basically at all. So my question for them is basically, like, are you guys rebuilding, or are you still trying to be one of the top teams in the Empire 8?
I mean, yeah, that's another, like I said, great point. But also, you think about it, like, who from the returners that they do have, like, which guys are going to step into that new role and flourish? You know what I'm saying? They still have, if I'm not mistaken, they still have Cole Thompson, who's like I thought he's a pretty solid guard for them. I mean, like I said, he kind of sets everything up. He sets the table for them, can shoot it a little bit. And they brought Eric Kegler back, who was a really good player for them 2 years ago, man. He tore his ACL, unfortunately. I'm glad to see he's back on the court. But he played really good defense for them. He was a 3-and-D player, so how does he step up? And also, like, what do all these freshmen look like? I mean, they have – let me count on the roster. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I think it was 9.
5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 9 freshmen, bro. It's just that's a big freshman class, bro. So definitely interested to see what they look like coming into this year. But Coach G, I mean, he has a good program there. I feel like he always gets his guys ready to hoop, no matter the opponent. They're always playing hard. So definitely excited to see what they look like.
Yeah. So that'll conclude this unnamed segment. keep sending those recommendations in. I like a few recommendations that we got. I'm getting close to naming it, but we definitely need to keep growing with that. But back to Mr. Beck. I mean, this was a really good episode. I like talking to Matt. And one thing I wanted to bring up before I toss it to you is watching this kid's film. Like, I don't know really how you scout a player like this, because he can do it all, bro. Like, especially in the pick and roll game, it's super tough because he can get a guy on his back, pull, like, get him on into the mid-range area. He can score from there. He's got that push dribble to the three-point line where he can still raise up and shoot at a high clip. And if you go under, obviously, it's just 3 points. Like, you could just put it on the board. So it's super tough to guard this kid, and his stats show that. I mean, I'm looking at his Division II, any 10 stats, and look down the board, like 26 points, 25, 23, 35. Like, he's just scoring at a rapid pace, and he's not just a scorer, like five assists, three assists, six rebounds. Like, he's doing a lot of things on the basketball court regardless of just scoring. So I want to hear what you got to say about Matt Beck in this episode.
I mean, it was a great conversation. He was a really good dude. And, you know, anyone that, you know, my boy Matt Price fucks with, anyone that Matt Price is cool with, all right, they got to be a good person, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I had to hit up Matt, and like he said, just watching his film, I was just like, whoa, like, he could shoot the pill. And I love shooters, bro. I love the art of shooting, and just to see some of the shots he was taking, I'm like, yo, that right there is like an elite high level shooter. And that's why I always said from day one when I was watching his film, I was like, bro, you telling me he couldn't have played high major? But I knew he could have. And I knew that there had to have been coaches reaching out to him just by the level of his play. Because also, he is an elite shooter, but like you said, he can make plays for others. He could play defense a little bit, right? But he obviously has a great story, bro. I mean, coming back from major surgeries, taking a chance on himself, going to the Division II level, right? Like, betting, we hear that a lot from a lot of players we talk to, like betting on themselves. So he bet on himself, went to SNU, balled out there, man. They had a great run while he was there. And I'm just excited to see what he does in the future, bro. Like, he's a pro, like, real talk. I'm excited to see what he does in the MAC this year with Merrimack. I mean, they brought in a lot of transfers this year to help bolster their team. So I'm excited to see what they look like. And yeah, just watch, like you said, I don't even know how you would scout if you're a coach against that. I mean, maybe like full out deny, and you're playing and you're just like, bro, he's like, literally, we can't let him get the ball. Cause it's like, you watch the film, and I'm sure you're going to put clips from his like mix that I saw on YouTube, but it's like, he's pulling shots from half, and you could see some of the defenders are like, it's like, what do I do? Yeah, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm literally all the way strung out here. Or, you know, when the big is in drop coverage, like, why would you play drop against a shooter like that? Like, he's literally just coming off and pulling. And if your feet are in the mid-range, like, he's going to shoot it. And that type of confidence to do that. And all that comes from the work, too, that I know Matt, you know, puts into the game. So it was a great conversation, bro. I'm really glad we got him on the pod, and excited for the viewers to kind of get to know Matt.
Yeah, I mean, dude is a bucket. I don't got to keep saying much more about it. But also, I got to, like, give my respect to him, because it's hard to turn – like, he was talking about some of the schools that were offering him over the offseason, and it's hard to turn those down and be like, nah, I want to be in somewhere where I can take these same shots. So I got a lot of respect for Matt, and – I don't want to make this intro too long because I want you guys to hear from him and what he's got to say about his story. So we talk about a lot with Matt, you know, the recruitment and the transfer portal, the different times he's been in it, how he was able to bounce back from injuries and all that adversity. And then, like, what he expects out of his final year of college basketball at Merrimack, because they also got a squad. And I'm excited to see the MAC, because there's a lot of good teams in the MAC this year. So let's hear from Matt Beck, and hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, we are here with Matt Beck. How you doing today, bro?
Doing all right, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, bro. I know the season about to start up soon, and we're excited to, you know, watch your hoop, but appreciate you taking the time to do this, bro.
For sure, yeah. I'm a big fan of what you guys got going on. It's awesome to see, you know, guys in the space and, you know, telling stories and stuff. It's awesome.
That's valid. I appreciate that. So it's Sunday, and my Steelers got a bye week, so I'm not really that tuned into the NFL right now. But I was just wondering if you follow any NFL, and what's your NFL Sundays looking like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, tuned into my Washington Commanders, you know, my Redskins. I try to watch, you know, every week. I think we're closing up a dub right now. We're playing the Giants. We were up when I turned it off to get onto here. But Naruto, you a Giants fan?
Yeah. It's been a rough year, bro. It's been a rough year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good year. I've went through enough suffering, so like I'll take my wins this year. I need them.
Yeah. I don't really know how y'all feel with that because my team's been at least decent every year. Yeah. So
Naruto, though, it's few and far between for some teams.
Hey, bro, you gotta relish in those victories, bro. Jaden Daniels is the one, bro. So I'm not even mad at you. I'm happy for Commanders fans. Real talk. But I have like another Sunday question. Obviously, we're kind of like the season hasn't started yet, but I'm just curious. Like, do you have like an off day routine? Like, is there something that you do on off days specific, like every Sunday or whenever you have off days? I'm just kind of curious about that.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's not always as consistent as I want to be. I'm a really like regimented person, but you know, sometimes it's just kind of how I'm feeling. Like we had a long week of, you know, practice this week. If I wasn't feeling, you know, kind of just banged up, I would definitely go in the gym, you know, kind of just work on, you know, some basic stuff, you know, nothing too crazy, just like a 20-minute workout, you know, and then I always do, you know, some stretching, some mobility just to keep the body, you know, feeling good. Cause you know, that's kind of the most important thing, I think, in the off days. You just want to feel good. But I mean, yeah, I'd go to church, you know, just kind of chill for real.
I respect that. Before we talk more about like today's career or pathways for Matt Beck, I want to take you back to high school. You went to Bishop O'Connell in Virginia, and you guys were OD. Like, I was looking through your roster. You got a lot of college guys on the team, guys like Xavier Johnson, who was a stud at Pitt. And I was looking at the record. I don't know how factual this is, but you guys were 30-9 playing like an elite schedule, a national schedule. I saw on your IG the slam mixtape, so you're getting national attention. What was like high school like for you, playing on a stud team and, you know, competing at a high level throughout high school?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. You know, growing up in like the DMV is a really, really good, you know, area for basketball. You know, it's just a Division I factory. I mean, I probably couldn't name all the college guys I went up against, you know, and just in high school. And that type of competition just, you know, pushes you to be better. It definitely is different than, you know, a lot of people's paths. Like I didn't even play varsity till I was a junior. And it just takes a while. Like I went to school and basically like the same conference as like Markel Fultz. It was like the same for him. Like it's just a different route. Like he played freshman JV and then, you know, he started getting national attention. I wasn't, you know, that good. I'm not comparing myself to him. I'm just saying like, it's very different. Like, you know, kind of just you play such organized basketball. The coaching's tremendous. The talent, you know, that you play night in and night out, like it's crazy. And it really prepares you to, you know, for wherever you go. You know, I can look back at some of those games and honestly, like it's some of the best basketball games I've ever played in. Like it's the talent, you know, just the environments, like it's crazy, you know. So it was a huge blessing. I learned so much. You know, it was awesome. No complaints.
So it's funny you bring up the DMV. We had a guest on a couple months back, Mark Anthony Fidelis. He played at DeMatha, if I'm not mistaken. He went to Markel Fultz went to DeMatha as well.
Yeah, I know Mark.
You know Mark Anthony? Yeah, he's a guy. We love Mark. He's a good dude, but. He always talked to us about how like talented the DMV area is. He said there's something in the water.
In the water.
facts. So hell yeah. And also another thing I peeped too, like doing research on you, like I saw that you played like Jeremy Roach's old high school team. And I saw it was like a quick like 30-second clip, but like you hit like a three and the crowd was going crazy. So I can only imagine like some of like the high level athletes and like players that you played in just growing up in the DMV area.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. That team, like with Jeremy Roach, I think there was one year where Villanova, UNC, and Duke were all in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And it was like there were five dudes from that one team represented in the Final Four.
Like, yeah, that's wild. Year.
Like, it was like one at UNC, Anthony Harris, Jeremy Roach, Trevor Keels, Brandon Slater, like all those dudes, like, it's just crazy. And like, that's like a rival school. Like, we played them 3 times. And so just playing against that type of competition night in and night out, it definitely, you know, toughens you up for sure.
So after your senior year, you ended up going to Mount St. Mary's. First, before you, because I have a follow-up question for this, but like, if you want to explain like how the opportunity to go to Mount St. Mary's kind of opened up. But really the main question is like, you battled through 2 major injuries at Mount St. Mary's. And I'm just curious, like, what would be your advice to athletes like going through major injuries, especially in college, you know, in the college setting, especially playing like college athletics? So I just want to hear that side of your story and your advice to athletes.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up at Mount St. Mary's. Like, I had a really good senior season, but I committed before the season. So I kind of just took whatever offer I had. And honestly, I was just more happy to get a Division I scholarship, because it's tough, you know, just kind of being in the position I had. Like, honestly, looking back, I don't know if I was like going to be a Division I contributor. Like, I couldn't do many things else other than shoot. I could shoot. I felt like I was, you know, one of the best shooters coming out of the area, but my game like wasn't complete yet. But you know, going to Mount St. Mary's, like, immediately I was kind of hit with, you know, some adversity. I tore my meniscus my first year, and then it just kind of lingered, and I had to sit out that whole first year, which was really tough. Like, I'm not sure if you guys have dealt with injuries, but that was the first time I've, you know, been sidelined for, you know, longer than a week or two, you know, with an ankle sprain or like a concussion. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Before I had surgery, I had to go to, you know, doctor's appointments and everything like that. So like, that was tough. You know, and then I kind of came back that second year, and I really wanted to, you know, really press the issue and really help the team. And it's like just this crazy string of events. Like, I woke up one morning in summer school, and I felt like summer school was going really well. Like, I was definitely, you know, in a position to be in the rotation. Like, I felt like my game was where I needed to be to play a lot. And I woke up one morning and I felt like something scratching on my eye. So like, it felt like I had like sand in my eye or something like that. And so like, I just like kept playing for like a week or so, and I went to a trainer and they were just like, yeah, like, you're good, like, whatever. And then like, it like kind of keeps progressing. And like, my whole eyelid just turned like blood red. Like, I'm not sure if you guys have seen like a ruptured like cornea or iris. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah.
Your whole eye is just completely like blood red. And so like that literally happened like right before the season, and I had to go to a bunch of different specialists and stuff. And I almost went blind in one eye. Yeah, like, it's crazy. I was about to wear like an eye patch and everything. But eventually like I got it figured out. You know, I finally like got like this surgery. Like, I had to drive all the way out to Ohio, got it taken care of. And like that, the first thing like happened in July, and I didn't get it fixed till October. So like, I missed like that whole time. And so like, that whole year was just a wash just because I went through all that. But you know, like, coming off that first year, like, I was so ready to be, you know, a contributor and to help. And I went through all that stuff in my first year, you know, just being away from the game. And, you know, I didn't really love the school. Like, it was tough, you know, just being there. Like, it was one of the toughest times of my life. And then for that to happen, like, that second year, like, it was just like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't know if I would ever, you know, get healthy enough to play basketball again. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I was going through like a lot. So I mean, that time was like one of the toughest times of my life. Like, I can't even lie. Like, you know, but I feel like that has allowed me to kind of honestly have a better career because of it. Like, just like going through that, like, you just, you know, like when you're really sidelined for a little bit, I think every hooper kind of has to go through it to understand it. Like, like, you kind of have a better appreciation, you know, for what what it takes to just be out there. You know what I mean? Like just having good health is such a blessing. And sometimes, you know, we overlook that. And so like for these past, you know, 3 or 4 years, like I've never lost sight of the fact that I get to play basketball, you know, and I get to do all this stuff. Cause there was a point in time where I didn't even know if I would even be playing basketball anymore, you know? So it was a super, super tough time, but at the end of the day, like it's made me into who I am today. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yo, bro, like I got so much respect for that answer because Ruta and I both have dealt with like serious injuries that have allowed us or put us sidelined. And in the moment, it's almost like you feel like the world is ending or like everything's going downhill. But you're right. Like everybody that like, deals with it, not everybody, but a lot of the times like you find a different passion or you like that appreciation for basketball opens a lot of doors. So injuries sometimes like they suck in the moment, but like you're a perfect example. You didn't know if you were playing basketball again, and now you're about to go hoop D1 again, being right back. Like you had a wonderful career. So I got a lot of respect for that.
I appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, for sure. But so after those 2 years at Mount St. Mary's, I was reading this article and you were talking basically in an interview saying how you were basically kind of like let go from the team. Like they got a new coach and they were like, we're parting ways. Basically, we're going in a different direction after all you've been through. That's crazy to think about. But so you entered the transfer portal. I'm kind of curious about this experience because you're 2 surgeries in 2 years. You have no real film. So like, what was the recruitment like for you? And like, why D2? Why SNHU for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was just tough. Like that was right when COVID hit too. So there was just like so much like kind of stuff going on. Like I remember like, you know, packing my stuff up and going home and then thinking, what the hell am I going to do? Like, I don't know what school is going to even want to take me. Like I had to call high school coaches. I had to call, you know, AU coaches just to see if, you know, somebody could just take a chance on me. You know, thankfully, there were a couple schools that did, you know, end up reaching out and would call. There were a bunch of NE10 schools that like were in contact with me, but some of them didn't even want me. Like they were like, they called me for a little bit, but then they like, they would be like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know if you're going to be healthy. And I mean, I honestly can't blame them because like I just missed like 2 seasons. So like, I mean, I guess like they were right. But at the end, like it felt good to beat those teams like after.
They definitely regretting that now.
Yeah, when they dissed me. But basically, like I kind of had to sell teams to take me. Like I remember being on like a recruiting call with one school and they were like, you think you're going to be able to, like, you know, get up and down the court after, you know, all the stuff? Like, I remember I was on the phone, like, I hope. Like, I wasn't even going to lie to anybody. I was just like, shoot, I hope. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to get healthy, you know what I mean? And so, but, like, getting to SNU was, like, crazy because, you know, Coach Perry, who's the head coach there, like, he's a good dude. He was iffy on me. He didn't even know if he was going to take me or not. And I'd never been to New Hampshire. Like it was COVID. I couldn't even go up on a visit. Like nobody was on campus. Like, so I just committed to SNU because like he finally offered me and I was like, you know what, let's just rock out and see what happens, you know? So that's how that happened.
I have like a question about your this past year's team, but I want to talk about something you brought up earlier in the conversation. I forgot to ask earlier. You mentioned how like in high school, all you could do was shoot. And now watching your film, I was like impressed. Like you could do a lot off the bounce. You're hitting tough shots. You're now like a playmaker for other guys too. So I was just wondering like what went into your off seasons and what do you think was like the most influential thing to your development in your game?
Yeah. Honestly, I would say like those 2 years at Mount St. Mary's, because like when I first got there, you know, once I was hurt, I wasn't, you know, just kind of just moping and sitting around and just like in self-pity. Like I was trying to make sure that when I was ready, I was going to contribute, you know, and I just remember going to, you know, some of these gyms and I would see these super, super skilled guards, you know, and like we would go to Hofstra. There was this dude who played at Hofstra, Justin Wright Foreman, like super skilled. Like I think he averaged like 25. Yep. The last, he was killing. And I just remember, I don't think I can be like a good player if I can't do anything else than shoot. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I don't even think that's going to be a reality for me. Like, I think that I could obviously like make ends meet because, you know, I feel like I can shoot the ball best up there with anybody, but I was like, I need to, you know, add some stuff to my game. Like, I need to make sure that when I do get healthy, like I can be able to, you know, turn it on. But I would say like that didn't really progress until I really got to like to SNU. Like I feel like I really worked my butt off like that COVID year because we didn't even go up to campus. Like there was no school. We didn't play. Like I didn't even go to campus like that whole year. So I was just in the gym like every day. And actually like that time, like I was around so many pros. Like it was awesome. Like I was around a guy who's turned into like one of my mentors. I'm not sure if you guys know who Scotty Reynolds is from Villanova. He's like one of the all time greats at Villanova. He's from like a town over from me, but I didn't meet him until like this random open gym. And then, you know, we would work out together. He would, you know, kind of just go work me out. We would go and watch some film together. And there's just like so many other dudes like Justin Robinson, Nigel Johnson, like just local dudes who, you know, I got to give my flowers to because they honestly helped me, you know, kind of expand because, you know, I'm a white dude who could honestly barely dribble at the time. Like I know I belong out there, but like I really don't have any game to like show that, you know, I can be out there and be a producer, you know what I mean? But yeah, like once I got this new, I kind of showed that, you know, I have a little bit more to me. Like I was working on a lot, and then honestly it's just more like I think it's just confidence at that point. Like I think the confidence, like when you see somebody go from like a 10 a game guy to like a 16 a game guy, or for me, it was just like learning how to play off ball screens, play in different actions, you know, make shots off the dribble. Like that was more just confidence for me than anything. Like I used to be like a huge, like, oh my gosh, like I need to work on every, I just need to work on my catch and shoot. I just need to do this. But like in reality, like, now I get in the game and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to be me and I'm going to let the chips fall, you know, where they go. And it's worked so far, and we'll see what it does this year, you know. So that's kind of the progression, I guess.
Yeah, nah, it definitely has worked for you so far. You had a great career at – what are you saying? It's SNU?
That's SNU, what you guys, yeah, yeah.
I heard. So, yeah, you had a great career there. And this last year specifically, you averaged over 16 points per game. You shot 45% from three on over 8 attempts per game, which is OD. So that's crazy. And I was reading this, that same article, and you were basically saying how you guys lost to Pace and you guys were 14-10. And then you like you had a team meeting yourself, like you hosted it basically. So I'm kind of curious about like this meeting, if you could talk about that, because after that, you guys went 10-0, made it all the way to the D2 national championship, which you guys didn't end up winning, but still, like, that's a crazy run. So I was just wondering if you could give a little insight behind that in this past year run.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this last year was crazy. Like, we had so much talent. And it kind of – we started out pretty well. Like, I think we're, like, 8-1, something like that. But then, man, D2 is tough. Like, D2 and D3, like, I don't think people understand. Like, it's tough because it's, like, there's so many games that's just, like, you got to just win off the muscle. Like when you travel the same day, you know, like a 4-hour bus ride, you got to play, like, after you eat Papa John's or whatever, like, it's tough. Like, it's freaking tough. Like, but yeah, I mean, there were some, like, internal things going on in the team. Like, I just felt like we were kind of selling ourselves short a little bit. And that's one thing I definitely, you know, kind of progressed as I've gotten into college, you know, the confidence to just to be that leader, you know, and try to, you know, just be about the right things. And obviously, like, I kind of had a head start, like, my freshman year at SNU, I was finishing up my undergrad degree. So, like, I had already seen, like, a lot of college basketball before I even played, like my first year of eligibility. Mm-hmm. So like, I felt like I definitely came from a place where like, I need to say stuff. I need to say something if I see something, you know? And so, but yeah, I feel like I've given people like the clean version of this, basically like, you know, in like interviews, like they ask me like, oh, what did you say? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like really it was just like, can I curse on here or no? Like,
yeah, go crazy.
Like we just gotta stop being some hoes, like for real. Like really, like, we were just acting like some hoes. Like,
respect, like, bro.
Like that's really what it was. Like, and to our credit, like we really, and I don't think it was like anything crazy. Like I was just like, listen, if you're with us, like you're with us. But if not, get out of the locker room right now. Like I don't even care. And honestly, like it was just one of those moments where everybody just like, I just saw the looks on their faces and I knew it. Like I knew we were gonna go, you know, on a run. And like after that, I'm still sick we didn't win the whole thing, like the national championship. Cause I was like, yo, like, I don't know who's gonna stop us like when we were playing like that. But no, it was an amazing ending. I felt like just the culmination of everything meant so much to win. Like we won a championship there. I felt like I was like LeBron in Cleveland. Like it was crazy. Like I know it's nothing like that, but I was like, man, I was crying on the floor, man. Like it was real. It was real, like a culmination of just so many years. I'm just thinking back, you know, just that those times where it was like, damn, am I gonna play? You know what I mean? And just to have this last year kind of tie a bow on my Division II chapter and my SNU chapter, it was amazing. It was awesome.
Those are like the little battles that, you know, the outside world doesn't hear about, right? Like the internal, not even discussions with the team. I'm talking about like your own, like you being emotional after the game. Like an audience will look at that and be like, damn, like why is he getting emotional? But it's like they don't know what went into that. What went into that, like that championship, what went into the work, like they don't know about that. So definitely a lot of respect to you. And especially when it comes to like you talking about becoming a leader, like that's a hard process, right? To be able to find your voice in the locker room as a leader and like maybe like not know what the right things to say are, but you were just being blunt and you were like, yo, we gotta stop acting like hoes, like you said, like we gotta tighten up. So I definitely, again, like I said, I respect that a lot. But you know, we have one more question before we go to break. And, you know, my boy, I have a couple of friends that have played in the NE10, you know, for example, like I mentioned to you, Matt Price. And he tells me just about how elite the NE10 is as a conference, how like every matchup is kind of like not a toss up, but it's like it's a battle every night. Like you don't like it doesn't matter the seeding sometimes in the NE10. Like you could still it'll still be good games. Like if it's like the 6 seed or 7 seed or something like that. Right. So I just wanted to hear, you competed at a high level in NE10 for 4 years. So I just wanted to hear your own perspective on NE10.
Yeah, I mean it's super skilled. I think that's the biggest thing. It's guys who are, you know, really smart. You think about like the St. A's and the Bentleys and, you know, like teams like that. Like they're just dudes who literally will, if they're open, they'll make a wide open three. Like it's crazy. Like yeah. I thought I was a really good shooter. Like there are some really, really good shooters out there. Like I'd never really seen, you know, like a playing like a motion offense team. Like they just move, they just pass 100 times a possession and then you close out with your hands down one time and it's out the net. Like it's crazy. Like honestly, like, and I try to tell people this, like, that's actually the hard, that's might be one of the hardest things I've ever had to guard. Like NE10 motion offense, like it's so hard to guard. Like, and there's no media timeouts. Like you don't get the whole, like, you're not like propped up. You don't get to take a break for 3 minutes and talk about what happened. No, you're playing, like, there's some times where the whistle doesn't blow until the 12 minute mark. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm sure guys have experienced that. Like just from like D1 to D2 and D3, like, It's just way different to play at like that level, like just because it's you really do have to like kind of get off the muscle sometimes. But yeah, I mean there's so many talented dudes. Like I can name so many who, you know, kind of went on to have like a good pro career. I was my boy Sean Trumper, who went to Franklin Pierce, like he's on Merrimack with me now. And like we talk all the time about, you know, guys like in the NE10, oh, you think they could play here? And it's always, you know, kind of a yeah. Like if you can play in that conference, like you can definitely, you know, not to the same, probably not to the same level, but you can definitely, you know, carve out a role somewhere. It's a deep league for sure.
No, yeah, the NE10 is definitely filled with hoopers, and I like that you brought that up, like, because we always say that. And any division, like, the nice people can play at higher divisions. It's just opportunity sometimes, and not every kid out of high school or gets that second chance like that you got, basically. So sometimes the pieces just don't fall the right way, but I like that sentiment. But let's take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about you coming to Merrimack.
And we're back with Matt Becht on the Not Even D2 pod. So first question we got out of break, bro. So obviously after your 4-year great career at SNU, you enter the transfer portal for your final year of college basketball. So one, I just want to hear first your experience in the transfer portal. What type of schools are reaching out to you, and what type of role, what type of school, what type of program were you looking for ultimately?
Yeah, I mean, it was so much different than the first time I was in. I'll tell you that. It was too much, to be honest with you. Like the first 6 hours, like literally once like I went in, my phone like would not stop ringing. Like, I guess I can give like, you know, Jack Golke, you know, some props for that, because he kind of showed like a D2 white boy can, you know, kind of do it on that stage. And so. Yeah. Like there were some crazy schools to reach out, like Maryland, Virginia Tech, Marquette, like UCLA, DePaul. Like there were some crazy ones, and honestly, I kind of wanted to stay away from, you know, that like super super high level, because I felt like I wasn't going to be the same player there. You know, I immediately heard like on the phone, you know, it's just like, yeah, like we think you can, you know, compete for, you know, seventh, eighth man. You know, like you can come in, you know, hit some threes for us, maybe go to the free throw line late at games, because we know you can make free throws. Like it just didn't sound, you know, really enjoyable. And to be honest with you, they weren't offering enough money for me to be like I'll do it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like the money just wasn't like, it wasn't anything that I was just gonna go be miserable for a year, because at the end of the day, like I really enjoy just being out there and playing, you know, high 20s, low 30 minutes, you know, shooting a lot of shots. Like I wanted somewhere where my role would be very similar to what it was at SNU, you know what I mean? And so at the end of the day, like I came down to a couple schools. So Richmond, Oakland, and Merrimack are the three I kind of like narrowed it down to. Richmond, I visited there first. Didn't end up choosing them. And now I went to Oakland, and it was pretty tough to choose between those two. Cause you know, I saw kind of what Oakland did with Golkey the year before. And like, he was even on a visit with me. Like he was there like to dinner. He was talking shit on the NE10 and stuff like that. it was funny, but, I felt like my role there might be a little bit more confined than, you know, somewhere else. Like he really didn't shoot any twos. He really wasn't coming off of ball screens or doing anything like that. Like, I feel like my game is a little bit more than that. I feel like if I really want to be a pro, like I'm 6 foot, you know, 6'3", like I'm not really a 6'6", 3-and-D, you know, wing. Like I gotta be like a combo guard. You know, I feel like if I want to have a chance. So, you know, I kind of bet on myself, and here I am. I feel like I'm somewhere where I feel like we're gonna have a chance to win. That was a huge, you know, part, because there were a lot of schools that, you know, I probably could take a little bit more money and you know, probably just didn't not really have a chance to win. You know, like you go to like a mid-major that, you know, has some money, but they're just in a complete rebuild, and it's just like I can't be a part of that, you know, in this last year. So I went to somewhere I feel very confident that we're gonna have a good year. I feel like I'm gonna have a good year, and we'll see how it goes.
That's it's kind of crazy, bro, that you made that point about the Division One, like the high major like schools contacting you, because, bro, after I watched your film, I was like, I have no doubt, and KJ knows I said this, but after watching your film, I was like, I have no doubt that high majors were talking to you. But I was like, I know all those coaches were all telling him, like, he's probably going to have to compete for minutes, because I've heard that, like, same story, like, yeah, over and over again. Like, we talked to there's been, like, other guests, like, on here who have made that, like, D2 to D1 jump or D3 to D1 jump, right? And, like, you always hear, like, the coaches, like, yeah, you might have to come in and compete, and, like, the role is going to be a little bit different. Yeah. So it's like, bro, why would, like, he just bugged for 4 years to any 10 level. Like, he's probably going to want to go to a school where it's going to – without knowing you, I'm guessing all this, but it's like, yeah, he's probably going to want to go to a school that's going to let him be him, let him shoot, yeah, these same shots, because that's what he's good at. You, yeah, know what I mean? So it doesn't come to any surprise, like, hearing you say that, bro, honestly.
No, for sure. I mean, to keep it honest, like, if Duke called me and Duke said, come stand in the corner, I probably would have did it, but
yeah,
Duke didn't call. So
it wasn't Duke.
No, you're 100% right. Like, that's I don't think you should get caught up in, you know, like, that Instagram stuff. Like, it would be so cool for me to post that I'm going here, and it would be cool for the first, you know, couple months. And once November hits and I'm not shooting this shot anymore. Wait, I don't even get, I'm like, my minutes are all messed up. Like, now I got to shoot this shot I didn't even play last game. Like, it's my last year. Like, why not go somewhere that, you know, you're going to have fun and enjoy it, you know? And so that's what I went with, and we'll see how it works out. Maybe I regret it in, you know, however many years, but I feel confident that this is what's gonna bring me a little bit more happiness for sure.
Nah, bro, I think this experience, bro, is gonna turn out great for you. Honestly, Merrimack's a great program. Coach Gal is a great coach, and you guys are first year in the MAC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So like, that's like a big time. That's big time for you guys, right? The MAC is a really good conference, but now you've been at Merrimack like for the last like couple months, and you're obviously transferred from D2. So what has the experience been like in practice? Just the level of play. I know you were at Mount St. Mary's, but just now as an older player, like, what has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, no, it's been great. Obviously been an adjustment. I think anytime you switch programs, like, you're like, I was at SNU for a while. So anything new was kind of like, oh shoot, like, I'm not really used to this. But, you know, after like a month or so, like, you kind of, you know, start to feel it out. The defense is very different. I'm like, they play like this tricky zone. I'm not sure if you guys have played like Conn College, like, they play the same zone as
played them last year.
Yeah. Like, yep. So like, you know, it's a very like aggressive, it's super hard to score against. Like, I've never seen anything. Like, I'm like, yo, like, it's crazy. Like, offensively, it feels honestly like kind of similar. Like, just in terms of like the speed, like, the speed's a little bit more up and down. But like, even in our scrimmages, like, I felt like, okay, like, this feels fine. You know, we play like high paced teams. And, you know, I think that the D2 game, like, there's so many different styles of play that I've kind of seen like a lot. And so, you know, and 1 year, like, we were super like half court grinded out team, and some other years, you know, we were getting out in transition. So I feel like I've had a good blend to prepare me for really anything. Like, but I mean, it's been good. I've really enjoyed, you know, just being here with the coaching staff and everything. It's a great culture here. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely going to be rooting for you, bro, and hope that you have a big time year. And that makes me wonder kind of like what your expectations are. I mean, you talked about how Coach Gallo is one of the best coaches you've had. We were talking about the non-conference schedule. You guys are playing Rutgers, Butler, Stanford, Princeton, a lot of high major schools. So I was just wondering if you could talk about like your expectations going into your final year of college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely set some goals, you know, some lofty goals for myself. I want to be one of the best players in the conference. You know, I want to be one of the best shooters in the country. Obviously want to win. I think that, you know, coming here and this school is hungry to go to the NCAA tournament. You know, they won the conference the 1 year that they weren't eligible for it. And then last year they fell a little bit short. So that's the number one goal, you know, and just winning. Cause I've seen firsthand, like if you're on a winning team and you're just doing what you're supposed to do, like you're going to look good, you know, and it's not necessarily about, all right, let me go out and try to score X amount of points or, you know, do this or that. Like it's really just, you know, trusting the game plan, you know, trusting whatever the role coach has, you know, lined out for you. You know, I really want to make a emphasis to be one of the better defenders, you know, have one of the best defensive years I've had. Cause I know that, you know, when I make that jump to overseas, like I gotta be solid on that side of the ball. So there's a lot of things that I've kind of outlined for myself, but ultimately, like, I just want to win for sure.
No, I respect that. You're a dog, bro. And like I said, I think you're going to have a big year. So definitely stay on that grind. We're going to be locked in on Merrimack basketball this year. But we're going to end this episode with a little rapid fire and starting five edition. Let us know you're ready for rapid fire.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. So first rapid fire question. I'm just curious about this because we have a different like starting five question, but top any 10 players that you played against, you got to name like three or four. I got to hear it.
All right. I just had this conversation the other day. All right. So you said top three or four, not including myself.
Yeah, not including yourself. Yeah.
All right. We'll go Colton Lawrence from Bentley, number one. I'll go Zay from Franklin Pierce. Third one. Dang, this one might make some people upset. I don't want to give another Bentley guy a nod. Like, I don't like the Bentley guy. I don't want to put another. So I'm trying to think of a. I'm gonna go Quayshawn Lane from New Haven. I think he's in Germany right now. I've always liked his game. I thought he was a good player.
Right. Okay. I like that list. Definitely can't give too much love to Bentley. next rapid fire question. So I live in New Hampshire right now. I live in Exeter. So okay. I'm kind of familiar with New Hampshire area. So I'm just kind of wondering, it's not really like, it's kind of like an odd question, but like your favorite memory of like living in, cause I know Snoo's in Manchester. So like your favorite memory from living in Manchester, like anywhere you travel, there's stuff like that.
That's a great question.
No, yeah, that is tough.
Gosh, have you ever been to USA Chicken in Manchester?
Nah, I've never been there. I haven't really been to Manchester that much, honestly, but.
I'm going to say, I mean, aside from like a basketball memory, I'm just going to say going to USA Chicken. When you get the chance, you got to go to USA Chicken in Manchester. Word. Shout out my boy, Sip. This is a free promo right here, okay? You got to go get the spot from USA Chicken. Anytime we went there, that's one of the best memories ever.
That's tough.
Word, I like that answer, bro. Manchester's a night. Manchester, I hear good things about it. Like, I go play basketball there sometimes, but it seems like a dope little city. Like, there seems like some good parts to it.
Yo, hold on. It's definitely cool for sure. There's no D1 school in there. So it's like, we're kind of just like the school, which is cool.
Yo, real quick, I just want to patch this. I texted one of my friends that used to play in the Any10, like, just a picture of you, and he said, yo, I'm weak, Any10 legend. That's why. That's why.
Bro, you know what's funny about, because I have a teammate now, Hagen Foley. He went to St. Rose.
St. Rose, okay.
Bro, he went to St. Rose, and when he first came here, we were talking about, like, some of his matchups in the Any10. He mentioned you. He was like, bro, Matt Becht is one of the best shooters I've ever seen, and like Hagen is one of the best shooters I've ever played with, seen too. So it's like, from him to give you that nod too, I'm like, damn, he definitely could spark that thing then.
As well, bro, for sure.
But last rapid fire question before we do starting a five. I was wondering if you had like pregame music that you listen to. If you can give a couple of different artists or songs that, you know, kind of get you in that mood.
Yeah, so I'm a little weird with mine. So like,
no judgments, bro.
Like the day of the game, like if I'm just walking around, let's say it's like 1 p.m. and we play at 7, I'm not listening to a single ounce of like rap music. I'm not listening to anything. I'm listening to like 90s soul and R&B music.
Yo, you are my mans, bro. You are my mans, bro. I'm the same
like,
way.
Marvin Gaye, like slow jams. You know what I mean? The whole day. Okay, like just to calm down, calm the nerves. Take my nap, and then when I wake up, it's like a gradual, you know, progression. Probably get some Rod Wave, some Young Boys, some, you know, like all that stuff, like all the rap music. But don't listen to trap music before 12 o'clock. Don't do it. It's bad for your mental. Bad for your mental.
Yeah, you're funny as hell, man. I fuck with that.
I like that PSA.
But we're going to end with a starting five edition. So if you're a coach assembling your own lineup, point guard through center, who you're going to pick. And this edition is going to be the best players that you've played with. And this can be from, you know, your time at Bishop O'Connell all the way to your guys at Merrimack now. So build your lineup. And this one, you can include yourself.
All right, this is good. This might get some people mad. I'm going to this out after I make this. Gosh. All right, well, I'm going to say my point guard here because I want as many passes. I want him picking me secondhand about, okay, he didn't pick me. So I'm going to go Bud Clark, number one. Uh-huh. He's going to be the one. I'm going to choose myself. I want to play with this team.
Of course.
I'll be at the two. I'm going to go Matt Lewis at the three. He's playing professionally in Greece right now. Gosh, I go Evan Guillory at the four.
Where'd he play at?
He was at SNU with me.
Okay.
Gosh, there's so many. That's a tough one. Yeah, I'll go Ev at the four. This probably isn't the best roster construction. We don't have much shooting right now.
You got yourself, gang. You got that.
Outside of me, the only thing we got, Matt can shoot, but Mike can shoot. Ev's a... He's a enforcer for sure. Can I get a six man too or no?
Yeah, go.
Why not? Yeah.
All right, for this one.
My five is Nate Watson from Providence. Played together at O'Connell. And then six man, I'm going Sean Trumper off the bench.
It's a good lineup, bro. Yeah, might be tough.
Yeah, that's a lot of defense right there. That's not much I'm the only shooter, so I should be the only one like shooting threes, though. So
that's like, what you like. That's what you like.
I set it up that way.
But that's gonna do it for another episode of Not Even D2. Super appreciative of you getting on the pod so quick. We just so the viewers know, we texted you yesterday, and we already got you on the pod. So that's love, and good luck for the rest of the season, bro.
That was dope, guys. Appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.